May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Could you please take a moment to participate in the audience participation portion of our program today? And if you were trained to be a teacher, elementary, preschool, middle school, high school, school librarian, college professor, any kind of level, would you please raise your hand? I thought so. So at least that many of you who raised your hands will relate to the question identified in the title of this sermon. Have you ever heard it before? Is this going to be on the final? I want to say with boldness, I was an okay student. I wasn't a great student. I was an okay student. Did better in college than high school. Did okay in But I can brag that I have never once forgotten a fact that a teacher said, "Don't worry, you don't have to remember this, it won't be on the final." Before global climate change was as much of an imminent threat as it is today, back when I was in high school, the teacher said, "Well, the word for a massive tidal wave that happens after an earthquake is a tsunami, but you don't have to remember that word." Or in seminary, when my Old Testament professor, Dean McBride, said, "There's this wonderful story in the book of Exodus about the two Hebrew midwives, Shifra and Puah, but you don't have to remember their names." Sure, of course I don't. I had a seminary classmate, actually lived upstairs from me in the apartment building, who had, I think they were 200-pound cats, because when they went across the floor, they went, and they were named Shifra and Puah, after the Hebrew midwives. Yeah, that's not just a fact of my trivia-loving brain that I don't forget stuff. If somebody tells you, "You probably don't need to worry about this," or "You probably don't need to remember this," what are you going to remember? So it strikes me a little funny in this passage from the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, any of that." Because what do you do when somebody says, "Don't worry"? It's like if I tell you, "Don't think about an elephant right now." But it is, in fact, the elephant in the room, isn't it? Worry. Because it surrounds us and it consumes us in this age of great anxiety, political, global, climate-based, respect-based, human dignity and human respect for each other. They're all at great lows, and it doesn't seem like there is a way to change them. No matter how much we say, "Oh, I worry about this and I worry about that, and what is our world coming to?" And I see my picture of my grandbaby that I get every day and think, "What is going to become of him?" But I don't seem to be able to fix it or to stop worrying about it. And yet, here are Jesus' words. Words from that famous, most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. Over and over again, simple, profound words. Don't worry. Don't have any anxiety. Worry about today, not about tomorrow. And it really is tied in with that first verse of the passage that Megan read. No one can serve two masters. I don't much like either-or thinking, but it seems like Jesus falls into it. You can worry about tomorrow, or you can trust God. Which makes many of us who don't like to be either-or thinkers say, well, I guess then I'm not trusting God, or not trusting God enough, because I still worry. When Jesus says these simple, profound, bumper sticker, t-shirt kind of words that we hear and that we remember so clearly and so profoundly, I think he's saying them that way because we need a daily reminder. Don't worry today. Trust God today. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. Or even as my grandmother, I'm told, used to quote from the King James, that last verse of that passage, over and over and over again, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Or more simply put, today's own trouble is enough for today. I'm saying this, preaching the sermon, not as an either or, not as if you've got this, then you don't ever need to worry for the rest of your life. It is a daily, constant reminder, so much so that yes, it probably is going to be on the final. Some of my teacher friends say, if I'm saying it, it's going to be on the final. I had a professor in seminary who lectured along on church history, and he did it so fast because he was so excited about the Reformation and all those different things. And we'd say, Dr. Stein, could you just please slow down just a little bit? He says, nope. If you drop your pencil, you miss half a century. But with Jesus, the message is repeated profoundly, simply, and said over and over again, don't worry. Yes, I had to follow a rabbit trail while I was preparing the sermon and look up the backstory on Bobby McFerrin, or I would end up whistling Don't Worry, Be Happy during the sermon. And I don't think that he meant that catchy 1988 pop tune to be such a lightweight kind of thing. I think he was more in the spirit of what Jesus had to say. More in the idea of to worry is to give a power to something that is not God. That's what we do when we're anxious. We give power to something that isn't God. Now, I think sometimes people hear passages like this from Jesus, and so they think, oh, well, then I can just do whatever I want because Jesus says I don't have to worry. I don't think that's what Jesus means at all. I don't think that's where he's coming from. Or some people say, well, if it's in God's hands anyway, then why do I need to worry about it? Because God will take care of it. God also put brains in our heads and will in our hearts to make a change, to do good, to be God's own, and to work for God's justice. I came across on Facebook a quote from John Pavlovitz this past week. John Pavlovitz is a well-known liberal progressive Christian thinker working in a church in Georgia. And he has these quotable lines like this: stop trusting that the arc of the moral universe will simply bend toward justice and decide to be arc benders. And ever since I heard or read that line, I've had the image in my head of a rainbow in the sky with its long arc and somebody grabbing onto it and just pulling for all they are worth. Friends, that's what our call from God is. To live as God's people, and because we are, because we're loved unconditionally by God, then we love. Because we are given grace by God, then we act to change the world. We grab onto that ark and pull for all we're worth. But if it's not grounded in that sense of who God is, then we are serving the wrong boss. I've found it a great motto in life is to never forget who my boss really is. I don't mean the one who pays writes the paycheck or signs the evaluation. I mean the capital B boss, God. Because being rooted and grounded in the love of God, it would seem Jesus is telling us, is to live as ark benders, as fence movers, as justice seekers. That's what God does. It's what God does for each of us. And invites us to be so strong in our belief about God. Notice I said strong, not rigid, not authoritarian, not doctrinal, but strong. In the love of God, who will never stop loving us and who will never stop trying to redeem the world, we are so strong in that. That gives us strength and grace and power to go out and bend arcs and to make noise, to protest and to sing and to work for change, to be God's own. That's what it is. And so we hear Jesus' words. Don't worry about anything. Today's own trouble is enough for today. Is it really that simple? I want to say yes and no, and then I want to say yes, and then I want to say no, and then I really want to say a very profound yes. It really is that simple. Because when Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, or when he says, seek first the kingdom of God, or when he says, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's saying the same thing. It is God who gives life. It is God who graces us with the ability to do what we do. There's a beautiful song. I wish I had looked the lyrics up before I came. The title of the song, it's a praise song that says, for one great peace, and it is just a series and list of all the different things I do. This check I write, this statement I sign, this ball I bounce, this bone I knit, this ball I bounce, this child I tend. It is small part in one small place for one great peace. Whatever you do, friends, whatever you're good at, whatever you strive for, whatever you're looking for, whatever change in the world you are trying to do and be, do it for the sake of God, who will never let us go and never let us down. Keeping that long view makes it a little easier not to worry. I'm not saying you won't. Sure not saying I won't. But maybe it makes a little bit of difference. And maybe it just is that simple. Seek first the love of God, the reign of God, the way that God is at work in the world, and everything else will fall into place. Not because you'll have heaps of money or the world's acclamation or be the best at everything or win all the prizes, but because you will be doing God's love. May we live it.